Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African Zena is a singer, presenter, and songwriter. In 2021, Zena signed her first record and publishing deal with David Gresham Records. In 2022, Zena made her mark in the music industry by releasing a 6-track EP, and over the past few years, she has been actively performing across Europe and South Africa, gaining recognition for her captivating stage presence and powerful vocals. In 2002, she had the opportunity to be a part of DGR's Sisonke Creator Tour to Amsterdam. This tour gave Zena the opportunity to attend the Amsterdam dance event, participating in BMG songwriting sessions and performing at showcase events. It was during her time in Amsterdam that Zena found inspiration and wrote her latest EP, Tulipa, which was released at the end of 2023. With the heavyweights in the industry taking notice, Zena's on an upward trajectory with her music career. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Zena. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be on the podcast. And where can you find me in the world? Do you want to know where I live?
you're based in Johannesburg, hey?
Yes, I'm based in Johannesburg, yes. South Africa.
Okay,
yes.
Lovely.
And my journey started at a very young age. I was 7 years old when I chose to, you know, sing for the rest of my life. And I guess, you know, now approaching 28, it'll be exactly 21 years. Yeah.
What was the thing at 7 years, which was like, okay, this is what I want to do? So something that you did at and a production at school, seeing something on television. What was that?
So it's funny because prior to that actual day, I had done like a modeling contest at school. And so I had my hair done. I had an outfit and everything. It was incredible. And then as I got onto the stage, I saw people and I kind of took like 2 steps forward. And then when I saw everyone, I was like, I'm not doing this. So I turned around and just like left. And then in December that very same year, my parents had gotten me this Barbie microphone and guitar set. Mm. And so my brother and I basically like put on a show for my gran on Christmas Day. And I think that was the point where I was like, okay, cool, this is so much fun. And if I can make this a job and like do this, I'd be having fun while being paid to do it. So essentially that was the idea in the beginning.
What was the thing at school? Did you start learning instruments? How did you make it a goal to allow it to become your job?
Sure. So I did a lot of the major productions at school, all of the concerts. I did all of the auditions for the dancing and the singing and the acting. And it was always my place to feel, you know, kind of comfortable and confident, because I wasn't confident generally in the school setup and stuff like that. I was actually quite a shy person, but as soon as I got comfortable in a specific place or with specific people, then I felt like, okay, cool, I can be myself here. So that happened throughout primary school and high school again, all of the major productions, all of the, you know, the dance contests and everything. And then when I was 16, I started going to the Christian School of the Arts. So I did musical theater full time while I was doing, you know, my IGCSE, so Cambridge course. So it was quite a full day because we pretty much start at 7 a.m. and you'd start with, you know, either a ballet class, or you would start with a warm-up class and stuff, and then, you know, head over to your musical theater theory class and your singing class, and then you'd go into your academics. So it was trying to balance both, which I think really helped me as a person, because I was able to balance, you know, putting on my academic hat and then putting on my creative hat. So it then, you know, blossomed. And then in 2015, after I'd finished my matric year, I then, you know, started going into the industry full-time through Stage Risk Performing Arts School.
So, and then what were the next steps? How did we get to where we are now?
Sure. Okay. So 2015, I auditioned for the ABBA tribute show.
Oh, yes.
And so I was a backing vocalist for that. And then I went on to, from that in 2016, I then went on to doing the Whitney Houston tribute show as a backing vocalist.
Okay,
and that's
so
where
So how long were you in the ABBA show and how long were you in the Whitney Houston show? And was the Whitney Houston one with Belinda Davids?
That's the one, yes.
Okay, so
so it's
how
with
long were
that
you?
company.
How long were you with each of them? So that's Showtime Australia, correct?
Yes, Showtime Australia. So the other show, because we auditioned, I think, in November-ish. And I think, was it October? Yeah, I think it was October. And the show, I think, started end of November, beginning of December. So all of December into January, the shows took place. And then while I was doing ABBA, I think he still, owns the company. Johnny was
Yes.
offered me to, do the auditions for, or rather to join the Whitney Houston tribute show. So I went with them to Europe. I went to Germany, England, Ireland,
Oh,
Scotland,
wow.
Wales for the year. So it was so much fun. And I think being a 21-year-old or 20-year, actually 20-year-old at the time, it was a huge experience. Like, I'd never left the country before. I'd never left South Africa before I left for the Whitney Houston tribute show. So it was me seeing the world for the first time, and doing that through singing was absolutely incredible. It was also very hard because obviously we're singing Whitney songs, and Whitney has an incredible voice range, and she's an incredible musician. So, and also Belinda on top of that, she is absolutely amazing. So, I learned a lot from her, learned a lot about travel as well, just being in different countries, but also learned, about working hard as a musician and being diligent and disciplined. And then I decided to come back to South Africa because I was offered to, carry on touring with them for a while, but I really wanted to get started with my career. So I thought, you know what? I don't want to, commit just yet. I want to use all of this extra money that I've got and actually start building my own career here at home, because essentially that was the plan. So I came back home and started studying musical theatre and performing arts through Trinity College London, and then started releasing music and writing songs and, putting all my stuff out there. And so as that journey continued, there's been a lot of opportunities because I then joined this karaoke kind of pop group called The Buzz, and we had all sorts of performances in at the Nickelodeon Festival. We performed at the Microsoft 10 launch. We performed on TV, on Yo TV. So there was a lot of experiences that came with that. But I knew that with being in a group, as fun as it was, I knew that I wanted to be a solo artist, because I had the whole Beyonce concept in my mind. I wanted to be a mini Beyonce. So that was what was in my mind. And then the journey continued, and as soon as I released my first single and had that put to radio called Ever Been, that's when things started to unfold. And so going on to radio and being playlisted started happening, and then my music video was playlisted on Trace. So then that kind of put me out in the world a little bit. And then I released another song the year later. So that was 2019. 2020, I released Satisfied, and then COVID happened.
And we weren't
And then
satisfied, I'm just saying.
we were not satisfied with COVID at all. Which, COVID, I won't lie, because I was still teaching part-time and teaching online, which really
Wait,
did
teaching
help.
what?
So there was I was teaching musical theater and performing arts. So it did give me a bit of income, and I was still at home living with my parents. So I had the privilege of being able to, get some sort of income at the time. But I think at that point, because things in my music career kind of like completely slowed down, and there was no build up of where I was going to next, I kind of thought, okay, cool, maybe this is all I get, and this is the experience that I'm afforded, and that's okay. That's enough for me. So I thought, okay, maybe this is the end of it, And so I was like, okay, great. But I kind of had, set my eyes out on being signed to a label, because I knew that would help me a lot in building myself as an artist, having more advice and more opportunities, and just, having the right people to put me in those specific rooms or mention me in the rooms where I cannot go into. So after that, I kind of sent an email out to the David Gresham Record Group, and I said, hey, it would be so great to meet with all of you. This is my profile. This is what I've done. I wasn't really looking for anything. I kind of just wanted advice because I was hoping someone would help me and, just being able to move forward in the music industry. But at that point, when I had sent the email, I was like, okay, like I don't think it's going to happen. So I left it. It was at the back of my mind, and I started the year 2021, and I was like, okay, cool. I'll find a job. I'll probably teach again or do something, and then that's just going to be my life. So in January, it was January the 26th or 7th, I got an email from the David Gresham Record Group and they asked to see me in person.
How long after
no problem.
Sending the email did you get the response?
So I sent the email in November. I got the response in January.
Okay, so like
yeah, so
3 months sort of ish. Yeah.
Three months, yeah. But
so
I also understood that...
Sorry to interrupt. So the fact that you hadn't heard, did you think, okay, they're not going to respond? Or did you have a thing in your mind, okay, I'm going to follow up? Or did you just leave it to the universe? What was going on?
I thought, okay, they must have seen my email and maybe just think that I'm not, you know, as an experienced artist. So I was like, oh, it's okay. Like, whatever. If they do respond, they do. If they don't, it's absolutely fine. Like, I didn't think that I was, you know, well up at that point. I knew that there was, you know, still a far way for me to go. Although I thought I was quite an established artist and I knew what I was doing. And, but in hindsight, I was like, oh, you know, I've only released like one or two songs. So it's not really something big. It's just that I've had, you know, experience with emceeing at, you know, events and stuff like that. And, you know, having a lot of performing experience, I thought, you know, maybe this might be something. So then I get an email from them in January of 2021 and they asked to meet with me. So I called my dad and I said, look, we've got a very big meeting. So please, will you come with me? Because I know as an artist, when you hear stuff, you kind of just take it and you're like, oh my gosh, great, we can go with this. And you never get into like the nitty gritty and stuff like that. So I had to bring my dad, who was my manager at the time. And so we went over to the, you know, the meeting with the company, and so, you know, we were telling just about me and my journey and what I've done. And they were telling me about the company and the artists that they have. And then at some point, you know, the now MD, Andrew, said, okay, cool. So we're really keen to sign you. And I kid you not, I did not hear anything else after that line was said to me. I heard absolutely nothing because
wait,
I think
so
in my mind,
when
I had
you met with them. Was this when you met?
Yes,
with
this
them?
Was.
Okay. This
is when I met with them.
Yeah.
So in my mind, the idea of being signed, I mean, obviously anybody wants to be signed, but in my mind, it was like, look, I'm still a very small artist. There's nothing, you know, big about me yet. And no one's, you know, running to see who Zena is. So I understand if I don't. But when he did mention that they wanted to sign me, I was gobsmacked. I was like, is this happening? Is someone playing a trick on me? Is this a prank? And then the journey began. And so I released my first single with the company called Good, which went to number one on Jacaranda FM. And then after that, it was just like a ripple effect. Yeah, so it was my first number one. And then I released my EP, Rose Garden, in 2022, which, you know, in hindsight, I guess it did okay. Not essentially to the standard that I would have liked it to, but there was definitely, you know, a mark that was made and kind of put my name out there into the world. And then, so fast forward to 2023, I then released my first debut album called Tuliba after having been to Amsterdam in 2022 to go and write with some artists and producers up there. And I must say I guess it all sounds like everything has been, you know, trading upwards, which it has been, but there have been, you know, some downs. But yeah, very grateful to be where I am today.
Okay, so a few things. First of all, did you get signed? So when he said they want to sign you, did they sign like then that same meeting, or was it a whole process before that happened?
No, of course there was a process. So we got the contracts and I had to look through them with my dad and the lawyer that we had. And then obviously, you know, come back and say, okay, cool. These are some of the questions that we have. Can we change this? Can we change that? So it was a bit of a process and it took about, because I actually signed, it was day before my birthday when I had the last meeting with them before I got signed.
Okay.
Yes. Yes, I got signed on the 24th of February and my birthday is the 23rd. So yeah, it was a very nice birthday present and very exciting time. Because it just felt like, you know what, for the first time I can actually, you know, have a scope of what my career could potentially look like now, having a team behind me that's supporting, you know, the goals and, you know, wanting to be in the industry full time.
The karaoke band, I'm going a bit back and forward because there were questions that triggered in my mind. That karaoke band Buzz that you mentioned. Did you
Yes, the Buzz.
The Buzz. Did you guys sing covers or originals?
We sang covers. We sang a lot of covers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that your first EP didn't do as good as you thought or expectation. Why did you have an expectation? What was the thing that allowed you to create that, if that makes sense?
To create the expectation.
Yes.
You know, as a person who has, you know, a lot of goals and is ambitious in life,
Yeah.
I think you do have ideas of, okay, cool. Hopefully this will put me on this level so that I can do
Okay.
this. And then when I do that, I can be able to do that. And so I was
So,
playing
yes.
the, So I was playing the, okay, cool. The steps to getting to be a successful musician and full-time musician at that, which is very difficult. Because obviously this industry is very up and down. So you could be having a great, you know, run where you're booking all the festivals and all that kind of stuff. And all of the music is being playlisted on all of the radio stations and, you know, it continues to grow. But I think in my mind, I knew that there were stepping stones and that, you know, this was the beginning. However, because of, you know, having a label and, you
Yeah.
know, being a new artist with like new music and being a different type of artist, you know, I thought, okay, cool. I think there's a space for me. But then I quickly realized that it doesn't necessarily work like that. But not only does it not work like that, but I don't know. It's just, I guess you make a song and if people enjoy it, they enjoy it. If they don't, they don't. And there is kind of like a formula to getting to being playlisted and, you know, being put on radio stations and stuff like that. But there is no formula to you becoming a sensation. So it was difficult to come to terms with because I really thought that I'd made, you know, the right strides and the right decisions and, you know, made sure that the music that I put out there was really good, and well written. And so it was quite disappointing, I guess, because, well, not disappointing because I wasn't happy with, you know, what I'd put out, but I
Yes.
think because of the expectation again of,
Yes.
okay, cool. If I've worked this hard and I've made these decisions, surely, you know, surely I'd be in a different place.
You're giving me so much aha stuff because it's, yes, we've got stepping stones and maybe, not maybe, definitely, because you had that. I had an experience last year. Basically, my podcast was nominated as one of the top five entertainment podcasts on the African continent. And when it came to the evening, when it came to the evening of the awards, it was a virtual presentation. But everyone around the table was like, "You're gonna win, you're gonna win, you're definitely gonna win." And I'd done so much work and so much work, and then I didn't win, and then they won for theirs. So I was trying not to be disappointed because I want to be happy for them. But at the same time, they were telling me I was gonna win and that they weren't gonna win. So it created this whole thing in my brain as well. But as you speaking now has really helped me solidify my mind, and I experience to understand, cool, we are on our way, but we just had to go to a little few smaller steps before we got to that big one. If that makes sense.
100%. No,
Yeah.
100%. I do believe now more than ever that all of these strides that I've been making are necessary. And although it's played a lot on my mental health, I'm grateful for the growth and the constant, you know, it's not to say, well, for me, I sometimes it does feel like a person plateaus at some point and you just kind of, there's nothing more. I mean, my biggest line for last year was, there's nothing more that I can do that'll make people listen to my music. And so when I got to that point, I kind of was like, okay, cool. It's out of my control anyways. So no matter how much work I put in or how much time I put in, at the end of the day, the outcome is based on how other people receive it. And I don't have control over that, which is
Yes.
difficult.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it is freeing, but for a person who's low-key a control freak, it's damaging because it's
Yeah.
just like, okay, what more can I do? You know?
And sometimes so I'm very much a proponent of the law of attraction, you know, what you put out there, what you think you
Is
create,
what you
et cetera,
receive.
what you receive. So sometimes, and I'm the same as you. Very much in the sense that, okay, what more can I do? What more can I do? And I've realized over time, and you again helping me in this moment, that sometimes just by doing nothing, we allow the universe to take it and let it do what it needs to do. So we need to step out of its way sometimes. And I know for me, it's challenging. So I understand, I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. What is the difference? I know that having a label behind you elevates you in different ways, but what's the difference between being independent and being part of a label, and how much does a label have in the input of what you release?
Sure. So how I like to see it is a label is is the company that invests in you as an artist. And so the investment will be studio time, because as an independent artist, studio time is expensive. Producers are expensive. You know, and you know, then there's the, cause there's not only that, there's a lot of things that go into releasing music. So you start off with the producers and the writing of the music. Okay, great. And thank goodness I'm also a writer. So, it's easy, you know, to write a song. So anyways, so it's the producer, it's the studio time. Now, then you go into the mixing and the mastering of the song. All right. Now the song is done. That's not where it stops. Now it's the cover art. What is the cover art going to look like? Okay, great. Now you have to get a graphic designer on board, you know, to design the cover art. And then it's the, okay, cool. Now we want to get it to radio stations. So obviously being as an independent artist, I'd have to outsource a publicist who has the contacts at the radio stations, to do that for me on my behalf. But in a label, it's in house.
Okay.
So that's all provided for you. You know what I mean? And the photo shoots and the music videos and the, you know, the live performances online. And, you know, the label, I think, opens up more opportunities, you know, to have the help financially, from a financial perspective, but also from a context perspective, because they have more of a network in terms of, you know, obviously, you know, being able to give their artist music to different radio stations because they've built relationships with them. Whereas, you know, if when you're an independent artist and you're starting out, you are building those relationships. So before you even get playlisted, you're building relationships first. And then, you know, depending on if the relationships work well or whatever the collaboration is, you then get playlisted according to, I don't know, maybe that. So it's twofold, because there's a lot more freedom, obviously, in being an independent artist and just making your own decisions and when you want to release and how you want to release. But then with the label, it's more curated and more like planned,
yes,
which I kind of appreciate more, because you kind of then give the opportunity for God to, you know, you do the work and for things to actually happen in the, you know, with the song and everything like that. Because what I find for me was that when I've written a song, I just want to release it. Like, I don't want to hold on to it, because it just annoys me to have a song in the back of my mind that no one else can listen to except me. I always like to share my music, because I really do believe that if I've been through something, I'm sure someone else has been through something either similar or different, but has the same, you know, feelings towards what they've been through. So I guess it's in a way to share light and love and healing, in a sense. And so for me, music has become an outlet. And so if I, and I'm bad at communication, I'm horrible at communicating how I feel. So music was the only way for me to, you know, be able to express that part of myself. And so when I'm not able to write music and not able to express myself, I find myself in a bit of a rut.
Okay.
Because then all of my emotions are sitting up here and I just go insane.
You mentioned writing a song is easy for you. Zena's creative brain, what motivates it? What invigorates it from 3 to 0 to 3 to 4 minutes? What is that journey in creating music? You've already mentioned it. It's easy. Is it always easy? Mm-hmm. Let's unpack how you create a song.
So it's either a melody, a feeling, or a moment. Or a word. So four things. Because most of the time, and I use all of my daily, you know, experiences as a means to, you know, kind of speak to what I'm singing about. So love is one of the things that has been very prominent in my music. Growing up, I had a non-existent love life. And so I always used to write about what it would be like when I was in love and what it would be like when I did meet someone. Or if I did have a crush and wasn't, you know, reciprocated, I'd write about, you know, the horrible experience of, you know, not being unrequited love. And then when I did fall in love and I did have that experience, it just unravel the world of different feelings that I was able to put in. I can write many more love songs about, you know, the experiences that I've had. And then there's also feeling, like, you know, when you're sad and you're feeling not good enough, you're not feeling great about yourself, or there's a situation that happened where someone might have said something that hurt your feelings, write about that. A moment, maybe, you know, I went out with some friends, you know, saw a cute boy or something like that, said something stupid, that becomes a song of its own. Or a moment. Did I say moment already? Or did I say feeling? Yes, and then a moment is just something that happens that changes your life, or just a word. Sometimes I've written a song based off of one word, like, for example, good intention, or two words rather, or good, like my single.
Yes.
And that comes out into song. So the process of creativity for me is if I hear a melody or something that I like, for example, in a movie, I'll watch a movie and I'll hear a certain melody, like of a, you know, instrumental piece that's playing behind a certain scene. Yes, yes. And I'll take, you know, a little, increments from there, and I'm like, okay, cool, how can I put these melodies together differently without copying the song specifically and make a song? So that's how I come together with music.
When you listen to music, whether it's your own or by other artists, are you able to relax and enjoy it, or is your technical creative brain unpacking what you're listening to?
It's so funny because the first time I listened to a song, I'm listening to it just to listen to it.
Okay.
And what's nice is that, well, for my songs, it's completely different, obviously.
Yeah.
But when I listen to other artists, there's a sense of, you know, peace and in being like, oh my gosh, this is a great piece of work. And then I have this weird thing in my brain where when I hear a song and I love the song, I play it at least 10 times in a row, and I sit with my phone on either Apple Music or Spotify and I learn the words verbatim.
Okay.
And then once I've learned the words, I literally keep listening to the song, and then I start hearing different things like, oh my gosh, the bass in that song is so much more prevalent now. And this melody, oh my gosh, I didn't hear that the first time. Or, oh my gosh, how did he write that line? And I start like dissecting it, but I don't dissect it to, you know, think about how I'm going to like write a song. I dissect it because it's the journey of, I'm trying to get into the artist's brain. Like, what was she thinking when she wrote that and when she sang that, and where did she get that from? And so it just becomes like I feel like I get lost in music, and in such a beautiful way, because it feels like maths for me, you know, like a scientist when he figures out like a code or whatever, or a scientific expression. You're like, oh my goodness, this makes so much sense. That's how I feel with music.
Yeah.
But with my music specifically, when I listen back to it, I'm always very critical, as we are all with anything that we, you know, love so much. So I kind of like nitpick a little bit, and I'm like, I should have done this and I should have done that. Oh, I should have actually sang that better. But then sometimes I listen to my music and I'm just like, gosh, Zena, but you're an incredible writer. Gosh, but Zena, you're so amazing. And I always like, I'm flabbergasted at myself because I'm just like, how did you do that? And where did that come from? And so that's the beauty or the circle of, you know, being an artist and being a creative, is that you go through these moments where you're like, oh, I wish I'd done that differently. But then you go back again later and you're like, oh, but this is such a great song. You know what I mean? So it's that constant cycle.
I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 years, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 5 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I recognize that and I understand that, because there are millions of them. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by who?
Okay, right now, Yes And by Ariana Grande. There's a song by song called Basement by Jack James. He's incredible. I can't say the word because it's a swear word, but it's SHIT covered in gold by Mac Ayers. Hey Your Soul, Go Baby, and Down by Zena.
There you go. I love it. I love it. Something to add to my list. Brilliant. We've got all these plans and extensions. So just a couple more questions. So what are the short-term plans coming up for this coming year?
Whoa. So we're going to be releasing another single from my album. And so I'm really looking forward to that one going to radio, because it's going to, I feel like it's a different version of myself. I feel like each song has a different version of me. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that goes. In terms of plans, I'd like to perform a lot more. So, especially at festivals, like I saw how Hey Neighbor and, Rocking the Daisies was so amazing, and I saw how much you enjoyed it as well. So I'm looking to, you know, be able to have more performances. I think that is something that I'm missing in my career and would love to really, you know, do a lot more of. But I don't really have plans this year, because a lot of the time, every single year, I have a plan of what I'm going to do, how many songs I'm going to release. And for the first time, I've just been like, okay, I need to let the universe do what it needs to do. I need to let God do what he needs to do. And so that's my plan for this year, is letting everything that I've put out now come back. And however that is, I'm ready to, you know, receive it however it comes. And I think that's the most difficult part is, you know, when you've put music out there, you're expecting a certain response. But I think I'm at the point now where there's nothing more that I can do and can control. So it needs to happen the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. I love that. And that also alleviates some of the expectation, you know, that, that hanging on and expectation. Brilliant. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
I would like to say to people that you are the best version of yourself. When you do the things that make you happy and when you are kind to yourself. And so be kind to yourself at whatever age you are. And if you feel like you're missing something, no, that's the world telling you that you should be in a place where that has nothing to do with you. So do what makes you happy. Be kind to people and be compassionate towards yourself. And yeah, work hard also.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.